Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, the rate of suicide is soaring amongst the U.S. military forces. According to statistics, 541 soldiers killed themselves last year. Now, the risk factor was highest for young enlisted men, but why, when they have voluntarily joined the force? Is it that what they signed up for is far from the reality of what they find?
The United States has one of the largest and most advanced militaries in the world, but also suffers from a major crisis. Suicides among its ranks.
22 veterans a day to kill himself. You know, why is that? Who cares about that?
It's long been known that roughly 22 U.S. military veterans commit suicide every day. That's one every 65 minutes. The alarming figures have been linked to post-traumatic stress disorder following military combat in war zones. But now, it seems the figures have been misleading all along. According to the U.S. Veterans Affairs Department, the figures have always included not only suicides by veterans, but also active duty service members, members of the National Guard, and Reserve. The latest report on U.S. military suicide rates show 7 out of 10 suicides are committed by active duty members. Experts believe the reason for military suicide rates include an increased exposure to trauma, financial constraints, and injuries in war zone.
Since 9/11, we have seen approximately 8,000 deaths combat-related due to the fight. However, since 9/11, the number you don't hear is that there have been over 100,000 veterans who have lost their fight to suicide.
Another key factor is the stress generated by a sense among soldiers that current American wars will never end, and the expectations of endless future deployments. Suicide rates among active duty service members and veterans continue to outpace rates among the general population, especially when it comes to women. Women are more likely than men to experience instances of sexual harassment, sexual discrimination, and rape in the military, and subsequent mental health issues, which is called military sexual trauma. The VA says it's working with the Pentagon to improve assistance to military personnel. But after all these years, the U.S. military still doesn't know why suicide rates in its ranks are so high. And what's worse is that they don't know what can be done to bring them down.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Scott Bennett, former U.S. Army psychological warfare officer out of San Francisco, and Julian Boykins, founder and chairman of Young Republicans of Southern Maryland out of Waldorf. Thank you so much for being with us, both of you. Let's start it off in Waldorf with Julian. What do you think is the main reason that suicide is a problem and even getting worse among military personnel?
A big reason of that is separation from families. You know, soldiers, they go overseas, they do what they're asked to do as far as their job is. But when they come back, they're asked to adjust back to civilian life in a short amount of time. So I think the training aspect needs to be revamped as far as what training are the soldiers currently getting to help them get readjusted back to civilian life, and how much of the training are they getting. You know, does it need to be extended? Does it need to be more in-depth? Things of that nature.
Well, Scott, do you think that there is a big gap between expectations and what ends up becoming the reality for these soldiers?
I think that's a very astute observation, Marzia, and I don't know if your other guest has served in the military. I was given a direct commission as an officer, and I worked in psychological warfare, information operations, State Department counterterrorism at SOCOM, CENTCOM, and also Booz Allen Hamilton. So I know this intimately. I've studied it intimately, and I've worked in the Pentagon on precisely some of these issues. And one of the factors is men come out of the military far different than from when they went in. I went in because I believed the 9/11 lie that was proven much later to be a complete false flag, fraudulent hoax that was perpetrated by our own CIA, Mossad, and other elements in the Bush administration. I came out to discover that later, even though I worked for the George W. Bush administration, so no one's more Republican than me in my pedigree. But men go into the military far different than when they come out. When they come out, their eyes are open. They see that 9/11 was not what it was. They see that they're not fighting a moral fight to defend their families, their home, their lands, their freedom, their constitution from enemies that are looking to destroy it or destroy them. There's no moral superiority. There's no moral mission. And men discover that they're treated like slaves, that they are being used, and they're being very psychologically traumatized and physically traumatized. So they feel betrayed. They feel used. They feel they're in fact on the wrong side of God in many respects, because they're engaged in operations that are killing women and children, destroying civilizations from Libya to Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq. And there's tremendous psychic or karmic residue and toxicity. And you amplify all of that moral confusion and depression with antidepressant drugs, Xanax, sleep drugs like Ambien. You have a major psychotropic breakdown that causes the serotonin levels to dissipate, and these soldiers end up becoming so depressed that they kill themselves, as well as their families breaking up, their wives and their children. And they're also labeled by the government as the greatest domestic terrorist threat, former military. So these military members are horrifically scarred and traumatized by the war experience. They feel betrayed, then they feel they're drugged. And then their families are broken down, and they many of them commit suicide. Okay. Many of them don't. And I'm one of the examples that is fighting to expose the lies by speaking the truth about this.
Okay, Julian, your take on Scott's analysis of the bulk of what he has said as far as the main problem that the soldiers are facing today.
I would have to agree with what he's saying. He has an angle that I don't have yet. I've never served in the military, currently in the process of joining the United States Navy as a commissioned officer. So he has a front row seat of what's happening. You know, he's able to, he's been on the other side of the table, and he's seeing the truth for what it really is. You know, me being an American citizen, you only get exposed to what the media is forthcoming and telling you. So he was over there in action with his fellow soldiers. So I'm pretty sure, you know, I could just only imagine you get over in the military, you get to the other side, and then it's like, hey, wait a minute. This is not what I was being told on the other side in civilian life. Now you get over there and it's too late. So now you gotta, you know, for lack of a better term, you're in survival mode, because if you're married and you have kids, you gotta figure out a way to survive while you're over there. Be able to protect your soldiers so they can come back to their wives, their families as well, and still be able to come back and function as if, you know, you never left. And that's not easy for a lot of soldiers. It's not.
Well, staying with you, though, Julian, the top reason given in psychological studies of American soldiers who have attempted suicide, they said they did it to end the emotional stress, that their mind was getting to them so much, driving themselves crazy. I mean, what does this say in general in your perspective?
It says that what soldiers are exposed to sometimes can be a lot much more than what they signed up for. And sometimes the training that you get coming home, you know, going to the psychiatrist and talking about your problems, a lot of times that's not enough. You know, it's just, you know, you never know how much burden a soldier has. And then to be able to, you know, live those horrific nightmares over and over again, sometimes it can get to the point to where suicide is the only course of action that a soldier, you know, he or she may think, okay, I can't stop the nightmares that I'm having. I can't stop the crazy thoughts. Only thing I can do to stop it is suicide.
Well, Scott, you know, when commercials, TV commercials promoting signing up for the military say something like, see the world and be all that you can be, aren't these quite misleading to what will actually be the soldier's reality? Because many of these individuals who actually sign up are from lower strata of the society, and perhaps also lured by the possibility of getting a free higher education and seeing the world. Of course, there's a big gap between what is being promoted there and the reality, don't you think?
Well, there is, because, as again, soldiers, people join the military, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, and the Army to serve and protect their country, to feel like they are doing a noble, heroic Captain America sort of service. And the reality in the military is quite different than what the fantasy is. There is tremendous amount of boredom. There are very poor officers. The leadership in the military is a shadow of what it once was. It has become, in many regards, a social climbing, a social experiment. You now also have very corrosive policies in the military that contradict any moral identity, such as throwing, you know, men and women, young men and women who are at the height of their sexual powers and their youth and their vigor and their hormones. You're throwing young men and women together in very close quarters and training. And of course, there's going to be sexual crossover, and many a time that leads to very bad consequences. But this is a policy that is intentionally being done for sociological experimentation purposes that is decimating a lot of the morale and the core competencies of the military. And now you also have the corrosions of homosexuality, transgenderism, homosexual marriage. You have a great degree of lesbianism and women trying to behave more masculinely than American military senior generals and such. And that also has a corrosive.
Well, Scott, why would this be a social experiment? I mean, why would they want to do this against their own military?
Well, there are people that don't like the military, don't want the military, believe that it is something to be experimented on, to change the macro culture of America, to change the psychographic culture of America, to make it more leftist oriented or pro-homosexual or transvestite. They are trying to change American culture for the worse, I would describe it, by injecting these social policies into the military. I remember seeing policies in the Army, and I objected to it when they were trying to transgenderize and homosexualize the military. I said, this is going to have tremendous negative blowback, not only in all the Muslim countries that we are being perceived as trampling and trying to destroy their culture, but we're going to isolate and run out of the military some of the best people, and that's precisely what's been happening. And you also see an antagonism against white males that has never been seen before, and that again is a policy that is causing soldiers to step back, and many cases become depressed, many cases become violent, they feel like they're being targeted. So this military that we see today is not the traditional constitutionally limited military that is only supposed to engage in wars to defend the continental United States and our Constitution.
Interesting point. Let me just jump in, Scott. You said that that they are supposed to defend the constitutional United States. So if we look at that, really, we would have to go way back for the last legitimate war that the United States has been part of. And so, Julian, is this a part of it all? It has been a long time that actually the U.S. has won a war. I think World War II, unless you want to count the first Persian Gulf War. So many of these troops going in buy into the propaganda, one, that the U.S. is always victorious, and two, that it's always on the side of what is right. And then a different reality hits them. Do you think this is an accurate analysis or not?
I would assume so. Based on the fact of how soldiers are before they come in the military versus before they go overseas, how they are when they come back from overseas, you know, you look at, you know, reality versus what they were told. You know, a lot of times, you know, some soldiers are given a false, you know, sense of false dream, you know, per se. You know, I'm pretty sure Scott would agree with me. You know, he's already stated, hey, what I was told, you know, 9/11 prior to me joining the military versus what I was exposed to and what I later found out to be the truth after I got in, got overseas and realized, okay, this is not the truth that, you know, people are being told as far as joining the military. And, you know, a lot of times you don't necessarily find that out. And I think it's by design. You know, I think if the truth really got out about what was going on, I think you would have a lot more people skeptical about joining the military, which in turn would would force the military to do things like start up the draft and force people, you know, you have to literally draft people to get back into the military. You know, I think sometimes, you know, the truth, everyone needs to know the truth. You know, the problem is when do you find, when is the right time to tell the truth? Is it better to tell a person when they're at the recruiter's office, or you just say, hey, they voluntarily signed up for it, so hey, this is, you know, this is just the nature of the game.
Well, interesting point you just made, that the people need to know the truth. And Scott, isn't this the bulk of the problem, that still majority of Americans really buy into when the soldiers, they say, defending the home front, defending the land? And of course, they become heroes because they want to defend the country. But in actuality, as we talked about just a few minutes, there hasn't been an attack on the United States directly as far as a war in a very long time. So when they are involved and they realize that really it's not defending anything except perhaps the 1% or the industrial military complex, what does that do to these young men and women?
Well, it makes them feel betrayed and traumatized and lied to. It makes them very, very angry and upset. And they are also very, very active in internet and alternative media and discovering the truth about 9/11, these other false flag wars, and the international banking scam, the military industrial complex, and the money that's used. The soldiers, the people that actually go in and serve for honorable reasons, discover that the government is completely dishonorable and deceitful and really has betrayed them. And they, in many regards, I think, take their own lives, but many rise up and I think become peacemakers and become diplomats and become statesmen. And that's what I've tried to do in traveling to Iran and participating in conferences and speaking, because God says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Warriors, soldiers are tremendous, and in fact, the best peacekeepers and the best peacemakers, because we've seen the bloodshed and the combat trauma and heard the screams, and we've seen the incompetence and the lies and the cowardice that come from politicians and senior level military leaders, and we don't even call them leaders. The enlisted soldiers are always the best soldiers. I was an officer, but the best men are the enlisted, because they have really the heart to serve. And it's sad that they have so many incompetent officers over them. But again, it's a sign of the moral corrosion and depletion that is currently spreading in the American political establishment and the military like a plague. And I'd say the first victim of the information warfare are those who were targeted with propagandistic commercials and recruited. So the young men and women who are lied to with fancy colors and music and video game advertisements, and half-witted recruiters, they're lured, they're targeted, they're propagandically persuaded to join for a better cause, like you said before, see the world, be all you can be. And they're brought into the military and they discover this is not what we thought it was. And they react in many ways with a great deal of violence. But I think people are changing, people are waking up. Had I known now, had I known it then, I wouldn't join the military. I wouldn't engage in these wars, because they are not defending America. In fact, they are war crimes, such as the presence in Syria, the war crime of Libya, and you can go on and on. And it would be a war crime if the president was foolish enough to declare war against Iran based on false flag events, such as the fake shooting of tankers, or the Syrian chemical attacks, which never occurred. These are war crimes, because the president was lured into firing missiles and declaring war on a country, even though they like to politely say they're not.
All right.
These are very great dangers, because the rest of the world is turning away from the United States and isolating the United States because of the tremendous destruction and betrayal that we've done for the past 19 years.
And on that note, Scott, so sorry to jump in, but we have to end it. We're out of time. I appreciate you being with us. Scott Bennett, former U.S. Army psychological warfare officer out of San Francisco, and Julian Boykins, founder and chairman, Young Republicans of Southern Maryland out of Waldorf. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Hope to see you next time.